Well, good evening. We're going to begin with hymn number 515, please. Hymn number 515. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Saviour? Are you ready His service to do? Hymn number 515, standing after the introduction, please. Let's stand together. Let's still our hearts before the throne of grace. Let's all bow in a word of prayer together, please. Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee and praise Thee that we can come before the throne of grace tonight. We thank Thee that there is grace with Jehovah God. We thank Thee that we do not approach a throne of anger or a throne of wrath or a throne of judgment, but it is a throne of grace. Thou hast lavished upon us Thy unmerited favour, and we rejoice in all of the grace, all of the love, all of the mercy which Thou hast bestowed upon us. Oh God, we can identify with the words of Scripture and cry that we are not worthy of the least of the mercies and of the truths, and yet Thou hast given so much unto us. And we rejoice in all that thou hast bestowed. We thank thee for thy common grace. We thank thee for those things that so often we take for granted, whether it be oxygen on our lungs or food on the table, a roof over our heads. Any of those things that we often just enjoy day after day without ever returning thee thanks. Well, we thank thee for thy common grace toward us. And we rejoice especially for thy saving grace. How we rejoice in Christ. How we rejoice in the shed blood. How we rejoice in sins forgiven. How we rejoice that we are no longer, those of us that are saved, no longer on the road to hell, but now on the straight and narrow path that leads to heaven and home. Oh, how we rejoice in thy saving and thy special grace to each one that is a child of God in the gathering tonight. And oh God, we come before thee and we do sincerely return thee thanks for all of thy goodness, all of thy grace toward us. And we pray that thou make us a people that never take these good things for granted, but ever rejoice in God our Saviour. Oh, Father, we come before thee tonight and we think especially concerning the mission field. And we look forward to our sister giving the report that she will give. And we do pray that thou bless her as she comes in a few moments. And we pray that our hearts will be blessed as we hear how the Lord is marching on in that sense in other continents, in other countries around the globe. We praise thee that thou art still in the soul-saving business. We thank thee that day after day there are still men and women and boys and girls being won by the power of the gospel. And oh Father, we do pray that thou do that saving work even among family and friends and loved ones in this congregation. Thou knowest those that have been long prayed for. Thou knowest those tears that have fallen down a mother and a father's cheeks for their children and their grandchildren. Lord, thou knowest those that have prayed for parents or grandparents or siblings or work colleagues and friends. And thou knowest those prayers from thy people, burdened hearts, Lord. Oh God, answer prayer. Answer prayer on the basis of Christ. Answer prayer on the basis of His blood and His righteousness. Answer prayer because we have an advocate with the Father. Answer prayer because of our blessed Saviour we plead. And oh God, we ask that in these days we would have expectant faith, waiting on the answer to come, waiting on thee to move. Oh God, we thank thee thou art still the same yesterday, today and forever. We thank thee that thy power has not diminished one jot. We thank thee that still thou art able to save. And we do plead for our family and our friends tonight. Lord, thou knowest the unsaved that come into this house week after week. And at times we wonder what draws them, what brings them, why they would have an interest in coming to the house of God year after year and in some cases decade after decade. Oh God, save by thy grace. And we ask that even now as we plead for these souls, that thou trouble them wherever they find themselves, and that we would even hear tonight as we get to our homes, God willing, that there's good news, that souls have been redeemed. But oh God, bless us tonight. We pray that everything said and done will be said and done to thine honour and to thy glory alone. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn in the scriptures together, please, to the Gospel according to Mark. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. And we're going to read the whole of this chapter together. And then in a few moments, we're going to sing a hymn, then ask Mrs. Graham to give the Missionary Council report. And then we'll focus on the verse 15 is our text. Very familiar words. We're going to be looking at the title, Being Busy for God. Being Busy for God. But at this moment, Mark chapter 16, beginning at the verse 1, up until this point, we find that the Lord has been crucified, and now there's this wonderful news of the resurrection. Mark 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath day was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Isn't that a lovely adage there? Tell his disciples and Peter, a comfort to those that backslide. But anyway, verse 7, that he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils, and she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. We trust the Lord to bless the public reading of his holy and precious word to each of our hearts. We'll sing again at this point. Hymn number 518, please. Hymn number 518. There's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. Haste to do his bidding, yield him service true. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. We'll stand after the introduction, 518. Let's stand together. Thank you. wonderful singing. Now, I'm going to ask our sister, Mrs. Glenda Graham, if she'll come now, and she's going to give the missionary council report, and we look forward to what our sister has to say. Thank you very much.
So it's been a brave while since I've done one of these reports, but as you know, the updates are fairly self-explanatory, so that's why we generally don't get up anymore. So I hope, if you haven't picked one up on your way in, I hope you pick it up on the way out. So the meetings recommenced for this term back in September, and that September meeting really took the format of a farewell for the Reverend Park, who had to stand down from chairman after his 10 years. Then in October, we actually missed that one because I got my dates mixed up when we were away seeing Chloe in Cardiff. But that meeting, it actually was a trip down memory lane for the Missionary Council because they celebrated 60 years of formation. So at that meeting, they went back through and they looked at old photographs and everything, and the ones who had been there, John Dummingham said they told a few pieces and stuff. So they had a really good night. But also at that meeting, the Reverend Park then officially handed over to the new chairman, Mr. Eric Graham, who is an elder from our Lisburn congregation, and he also had been a member of the Missionary Council for years. So please remember Mr. Graham, as he now is the chairman of the Missionary Council. Then in November, it was the Missionary Council weekend up on the Mackerboy in Portrush. There was a good contingent from Mourne there. We had a good weekend. And on the Friday night, it was an informal get-together, and the Reverend Park had brought his Ukrainian friends, and they took that meeting. And then on the Saturday night, the Reverend John Douglas, he brought a word, and Lyle was there. He gave a report, and Dave McCauley gave a report as well. And it was a really good meeting. So there doesn't be a meeting in December or December, so then that brings us up to date now. So the last, we were in Portadown there a couple of weeks ago. So this is the latest. You'll see all that the works are covered, and I'll not go through them all. So there's just a couple of wee things I want to highlight from that. You'll see now for Uganda that the Youth Council is doing trips out to it, one to Uganda and one into Kenya in August time. Now those are both full up. But the good news is, maybe most of you know this, but there's actually two out of our youth fellowship have got a place on the Uganda trip. So Lydia Morrison and Emma, they'll be travelling, God willing, at the end of June out to hold holiday Bible clubs on the campus of Emmanuel Christian School. So that is a fantastic opportunity for them, but I'm sure you'll hear more from them as it comes closer to the time. And just remember them in prayer, and also for those who are organising it. Now, for the home area, United Children's Camps, just it's fully booked. The background to that was it was usually just one camp, and it started off with 30, and then last year went up to 48, and there was a waiting list. So the Reverend McKee, he stepped out in faith, and he decided to do 2 weeks, and by the end of January one camp was full, and by the middle of February both those camps are full. So that's over 100 or 97 children, actually nearly 100 are going. So please pray for the leaders of that camp, because it's a big responsibility, because they're only aged from 8 to 12, so it's a big responsibility for him, as Reverend McKee prepares the lessons and everything for them. But at the meeting on Friday night, Mr. Graham had asked Dr. Pullock from at the Malvern congregation. He was out visiting family over Christmas, and Dr. Pullock was telling him a wee update. So he asked him to show a PowerPoint. So we were shown a PowerPoint of good news that there was a new Free Presbyterian Church constituted in the Dominican Republic. So the backstory to that was there was a pastor. Now, his name was simple, and I thought, I'll remember that, and I didn't write it down, and for the life of me, I can't remember, and I forgot to ask somebody today, but I think it is Pastor Sals, because it's a really easy name, and I remember it, but the Lord will know if you're praying for him who you're talking about, the pastor in Dominican Republic. But it was really a Baptist fellowship, but Pastor Sals, he wasn't happy, and he didn't see that church structure was biblical to him. So he was on sermon audio, and he got listening to Dr. Paisley's sermon. So he tried to get in contact with Dr. Paisley, but sadly, of course, Dr. Paisley had passed away by this stage. So then he contacted the presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church in North America. So to cut a long story short, that wee fellowship submitted a letter, and with 11 signatories asking to become members of the Free Presbyterian denomination. And at the end of, towards the end of 2022, then the moderator and a few other ministers from the North America Presbytery were pleased to attend the constitution of that wee church down in Dominican Republic. So God's blessing and moving in places we probably never even would have thought about. So please pray for that wee work. And then just another thing, I got a wee prayer update from Pastor Edgar Trabluski. Some of you don't know him, he's the pastor in Lebanon, and he does have connections with the Free Presbyterian Church. Do you remember a couple of years ago, the emergency aid fund? Well, the mission board was able to help that church out in Lebanon by sending aid to them, and especially there, was it last year, the year before, with the Beirut, the blast off in the and it destroyed most of Beirut. So they have been trying to pick up the pieces in that, and he has just said that their church is doing really well and that God is saving souls. And back in December, they had 8 new believers obeying the Lord and they got baptised. And the youth ministry is very active. But at the minute, they are helping people who are traumatised by the big earthquake that was there. Well, they're actually affected with that. And they said that daily they're having aftershocks. So there's a lot of people that are in need out there as well. So just remember those people who love the Lord in those lands, and we think we get it hard, but they really are, because he says here as well that the loss of their value of their currency went down by 90%. So people are getting it tough, and they give them out food hampers and everything. So if you just remember that, we work in prayer as well. But as always, just to finish off, many thanks for your prayers for the missionaries and the mission driver of the Free Presbyterian Church, and also for your financial support. Please do remember all our missionaries. And as you've gone through, I used to print it out in A5, but I got told off because nobody could read it, and I can sort of relate now because I can hardly see things myself. But, you know, if you keep up about daily with your prayer, with your Bible, when you're doing your prayer, there's those specific things that need to be prayed for. So, and if you haven't picked up one of the calendars, that's a good way as well, because even if you've it sitting on your sink, or you're washing your hands, you see it, and it's just, you look the date, it's just a wee remembrance of pray for that particular missionary on that day or that work. So thank you again, and keep on praying for them. Thank you.
We'll sing another hymn, 523, please. 523, as you're finding your place, let me just thank our sister for giving that very clear report, and it's encouraging to hear God's work going on. I'm sure you've been blessed by it, and I trust that you will take one of those updates with you. As our sister said, pray through it, remember these missionaries before the Lord, and let's give practically, if we can, to the work of the mission field. But 523, we'll stand again as we sing, work for the night is coming, work through the morning hours, work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. 523. Let's stand together. Thank you. the Word of God once again, please, to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, we're looking at the title, Being Busy for God. Being Busy for God. We're looking at this very familiar verse, tying in with the report concerning the work on the mission field, and reminding ourselves that there's a mission field wherever we find ourselves as the children of God. Mark 16 verse 15 states, And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's bow in a word of prayer together to ask the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, we have the word of God open before us now. Bless thy truth to each and every heart. Give us a word in season, we plead. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So many of us are busy. Sometimes it feels like there's not enough hours in the day, not enough days in the week. At times, I don't know about you, but it feels like you wake up on the first day of the week. You have so many plans that you want to get done, so many things on the to-do list. And then suddenly the week seems to be over. Saturday night has arrived and you look back at your to-do list with great disappointment that you didn't get half the things done that you were meant to get done. Because life is, generally speaking, very, very busy. But you know, oftentimes I think we forget that yes, we are made to work. Adam, even before the fall, was created to work. God gave him jobs to do in the garden. And I believe in another sense that we are created to be busy as well. But oftentimes we forget that we are put on this earth to be busy for God. Busy for God. Because at times we're busy with so many other things, aren't we? We're busy with family. We're busy with friends. We're busy with work. Busy in the office. Busy on the farm. Busy in school. Busy in a whole remit of things. When in reality, all of them will corrupt and fade away. And we are put on this earth to be busy for God. It reminds me of C.T. Studd, that famous missionary. C.T. Studd was born in 1860. He was born, as we would say in this country, with a silver spoon in his mouth. He was a man that was born into a very, very wealthy family indeed. And he went to the best school in the country, went to Eton. He went to one of the best universities in the country, went to Cambridge. He was very successful in his own right. He loved and enjoyed the sport of cricket. Became so good that he played for the English national team. Played in the very first match that was known as the Ashes. That competition with Australia. A famous household name with quite great wealth attached to his name as well. And his father was converted under the ministry of D.L. Moody when he came to London. As a consequence of that, family life changed. His father began to invite other preachers along to stay at their home as they then preached in that weekend, and different preachers would come weekend after weekend. One weekend, a preacher by the name of Mr. Weatherby came up to preach. And with conversations and different things that were said during that time, C.T. Studd was converted to Christ. C.T. Studd then determined that his life needed to be dedicated to God's service. Because he realized, yes, he could be busy with all of the various privileges that he had been raised with. He could be busy in business. He could be busy in education, receiving probably one of the greatest educations that could be afforded to a young man in those days. He could have been busy in sporting life with the cricket. He could have been busy with so many things, but he determined that he would give it all up and he would be busy for God instead. He became a missionary to China, stayed in China for 10 years of his life, then felt the call of God to India, was a missionary in India for 6 years. He then felt the call of God to Africa and later died in Africa in 1931. And I raise all of this because C.T. Studd penned some very famous lines in his lifetime. You know them well. He wrote, only one life, 'twill soon be past, but only what's done for Christ will last. You see, so often we're busy, and whether we like it or not, we're busy with things that just don't matter. Only what's done for Christ will last. And we are called to be busy for God. And tonight we've heard something about the mission field. You'll take the update with you, I trust, and you'll read about the mission field. But I want to remind you that the kingdom of Mourne, the town of Kilkeel, wherever you live and reside and work and all of those things, that is your missionary zeal. That is where your mission field is. And I ask, what about our lives? Are we going to be busy about the Master's business? I want you to note five things from this very famous verse, Mark chapter 16 and the verse 15. I'll outline them now. You can listen out for them later. I want you to note the command, the Christian, the crowd, the commission, and then fifthly, the creatures. So, number one, the command. The command. Look what it says, verse 15. And he said unto them, go. And he said unto them, go. Now, I don't know if you're in the habit of marking your Bible or not, but if you are, underline, circle, highlight, do something with that word, go, so that you remember it. Because this is the command that is given unto us. I want everyone looking this way for a moment, and I want to tell you something that maybe you haven't realized before, but I want you to know that after you're saved, personal evangelism is not an optional extra. It is not an optional extra. You see, there's some people, they get saved, they go to church, they stay in that sense among their holy huddle. They at times may quite rightly look at the world and what's going on in the news, and they may moan about it, and quite rightly so when you think of all that's going on. And then immediately the reaction is, I'm going to bury my head in the sand, I'm going to stay by the fireside, and I'm just going to hang on till Jesus comes again. Where in the Bible do you ever read we're told to do that? Evangelism is not an optional extra. We are told to go. To go into all the world, to preach the gospel to every creature. But sadly, there are many of God's people, and we are silent. We are silent. We have so many friends and family and neighbors and work colleagues and even strangers that we bump into on the street, and we are the ones with the gospel. We know the truth. We know of heaven and hell. We know of Calvary. We know of the blood. We know sins are given. We know the truth, and they do not, and yet we remain silent, and we let them away as they head for damnation. Oh, that we would learn not to be silent, but to speak for God. Come with me to the book of Proverbs, please. Proverbs chapter 29. Because I believe this is the greatest problem in the Church of Jesus Christ today. It really is. This is the issue. And this is the issue why we often are afraid to talk to people. This is the reason why we're even afraid to pray in the prayer time. This is the reason why we're often afraid to give out a gospel leaflet. This is the problem. It says in Proverbs chapter 29, look at the verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. What are we trapped by? What are we ensnared by? What are we caught up by? The fear of man. The fear of man. That's a very real thing, the fear of man. You know, have you ever wondered at times? I do. And don't think because I'm a preacher, I don't experience the fear of man either. All of us experience the fear of man. But at times it's a curious thing, isn't it? If you jump on a bus, you sit next to somebody, you're probably never going to see them again in your life. You've met them for the very first time. They sit next to you. Maybe you have to shuffle up a wee bit. You exchange pleasantries. You say good morning or whatever it is. You say nothing else. Maybe you talk about the weather. And you've never met them from Adam. And likelihood is you will never meet them again. And you have
10, 15, 20 minutes to tell of Christ, and what grips your heart? The fear of man. The fear of man. It's real, isn't it? And you could talk to that individual and you say, what will they think of me? What will they say? And you know, when you think about it, it doesn't really matter. You'll never see them again. You'll never meet them again. And yet the fear of man comes over us, doesn't it? This is a very real thing we need to deal with. But I'll just turn to it myself and I'll read it to you. You know, James chapter 4 and the verse 17, it gives us a warning that silence on those occasions is actually sinful. Because the word of God says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, you can sin by not doing things. You can sin by remaining silent. You can sin by letting the fear of man grip your soul. Come with me to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22, because I find this a fascinating verse. This is a verse you will know well. This is a verse some of you may have heard preached on numerous times from this very pulpit. And yet, sadly, this verse can be said across many of our own lives. It says in Ezekiel chapter 22 and the verse 30, this is an appeal from the Lord. This is the Lord speaking now. And he says, and I sought for a man. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Isn't it amazing here in the verse 30 that we read the word man is in the singular? It doesn't say, I sought for men. It doesn't say that. It says, I sought for a man. It's written in the singular. He's only looking for one. When you think, who's the Lord speaking about now? He's talking about Jerusalem. He's talking about the city of God in that sense. He's talking about Israel and Judah. He's talking about the Jewish people. He's talking about people that know the word of God. He's talking about people that go up to the temple yearly. He's talking about people that go to the local synagogue Saturday after Saturday. He's talking about people that are religious or are devoted who keep the feast. He's talking about a religious people that ought to be following Jehovah God. And he says, I'm not looking for a whole nation now. I'm not even looking for a whole synagogue. I'm not even looking for a whole family. I sought for a man. Just one. I found none. I found none. I wonder, as we hear the Great Commission given, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And if the Lord was looking across the kingdom of Mourn tonight, and looking more specifically into this very prayer meeting, would he find his man or his woman that will speak a word in season for him? Or would he look at us and say, I found none. I found none. You know, it's interesting, if you come back to Mark chapter 16 and the verse 15, you know, I've asked you to underline, highlight, do whatever so you remember the word go. But I would argue that actually the most important word in that verse is not the word go. The most important word in that verse 15 is the second word. It's the word he. Because, well, that verse wouldn't mean anything if Daniel Henderson said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That verse wouldn't mean an awful lot if the Kirk Session of this church said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Wouldn't mean too much if even the whole congregation had a congregational vote and said, this is our declaration to you, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It would mean nothing if it came from any of us. But the most important word there is the word he. The fact that this command comes from Christ. It comes from the Son of God. Comes from the second person of the Trinity. It comes from the King of Kings. You know, when you think about it, come with me to Revelation chapter 19, because I think we forget this. We forget this, that it is a king that is speaking to us. It is a king that has given this command. You think of it in this way. You imagine an army. You think of the British Army, for instance. You imagine if some private, or even some cadet in the army, thought he could stand up every general and major and colonel and start bossing them about, some private, some low-grade individual, and trying to tell all these top men how to do something. How long do you reckon that boy would last in the army? Wouldn't last too long, would he? And yet we find that the emphasis is not necessarily the command, but who gives the command. That's important. Who gives the command? And what we read in Revelation 19 and verse 16 is concerning Christ. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the he of our verse, the verse 15. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords said unto them, Go. And yet even though we have Almighty God commanding us to do something, we have the stubborn audacity to say, no, I'm not going. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go. And we dare defy the King. I ask, will we tonight determine, I'm going to obey the King? We find the command, number two, very quickly, the Christian. The Christian, look at the verse 15 again. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It's another little word, only two letters again, yet vitally important. Go ye. That's the individual. That's you. That's me. Oftentimes we listen to sermons and we say, wasn't that a powerful word for him? Wasn't that a powerful word for that one down the pew? Oh, I wonder if that boy, three pews in front of me, was listening to that. Sure, that was a good word for him. And often we forget that the word is for us. And often we forget that evangelism isn't just for the minister or the elders or the committee or the missionaries or the home evangelists or anything else. It's for ye. For you and me. For personal. To my heart. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Oftentimes we're full of excuses, aren't we? Come with me to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, we find a man with an excuse here. And I highlight this point to you. It's very, very important. I ask, what is your attitude like to personal evangelism? Are you part of the ye that is going into all the world and preaching the gospel? Because we find in Exodus chapter 4 that the Lord has visited Moses, visited him through the burning bush, given him this command that he is to go to Pharaoh, he is to plead and command, let my people go. And look what it says now, Exodus chapter 4, Moses is being called to be the leader in this work. Look at it, Exodus 4 and the verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, look at it, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Isn't it interesting how Moses put up an excuse? He said, I'm not eloquent, Lord. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't do that. I don't have the words. Anyone that has read anything about the life of Moses, and especially some of his speeches and sermons in the wilderness, know that that is a pitiful excuse, that Moses was more than able of speaking for the Lord. But look at the verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, so the Lord listens to his excuse. And look at the verse 11. The Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Here we find the Lord reminds him, saying, Moses, the excuses aren't good enough now. Doesn't matter whether you think you're eloquent or not. Doesn't matter whether you think you've got a slow tongue or not. Doesn't matter if you think you're able or not. It really doesn't matter. I created your mouth for that job, and you will be able. And there's no excuse now. Look at the verse 13. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And Moses puts up another excuse. He says, no, I'm not doing it. Look at the verse 14. This is important. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You see, the Lord tells us go. And at times we say, no, I'm not going. And maybe the Lord has told you a second time, go. And maybe continually throughout your life you've said, no, I am not going. I am not doing that.
I warn you, Moses saw the wrath of God. The anger of the Lord is kindled against him. Oh, that we wouldn't be that foolish. Come with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Because we find here that there wasn't too many people in Acts chapter 1. Wasn't too many people in the church of Jesus Christ at this particular time. In fact, I would argue that Mourn Free Presbyterian Church is a larger congregation than the congregation in Acts chapter 1. It's a larger congregation than the congregation we read about in Acts chapter 1 and the verse 15. It says, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. You think about that. 120 Christians, part of the church, the body of Christ, 120. That was it. No one else. That was it. That was the whole gathering of the church at that time in Acts chapter 1. Now look at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and the verse 6. And look what can happen if every single individual determines, I'm going to reach my neighbors. I'm going to reach my friends. I'm going to be part of the ye of the Great Commission. And I'm going to do my bit for God. There's only 120 people there, and yet we find, by the time of Acts chapter 17 and the verse 6, it says, "And when they found their none, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, saying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Look what that small congregation was able to do for God. They turned the known world upside down. I ask, could we not just turn the kingdom of Mourn upside down for God? Is that too much to ask? If only we would follow the Great Commission. But then, look back with me at our verse. We find the command, we find the Christian. Thirdly, we find the crowd. The crowd. It says, go ye into all the world. Go ye into all the world. I think we often forget that our neighbors, our friends, our work colleagues, our family members, all those people we're afraid to witness to, I think we forget all those people are going to hell. I think we forget that they are literally one breath away from eternity. And you can say all you like, I'll witness to them tomorrow. But you and I know above any that tomorrow may never come. They're going to hell. When you think of this world, there's 8 billion people on this earth today. I was looking up some figures earlier, and apparently there are 2.3 billion people designated as Christian. Of course, you know that figure isn't true because at least 1.2 billion are Roman Catholics, so you've got to take that out of it. Apparently, there's 1.1 billion people that identify as non-Catholic, even when you cut that figure down, because of course just being non-Catholic doesn't mean you're a born-again believer. Really, we have a vitally important role to perform. There are quite literally billions of people that need Christ. There are billions of people heading to hell. And yet we stay silent. Oh, that we would learn to be busy for God. I want you to note, fourthly, the commission. We find the command, the Christian, the crowd. Number four, the commission. Look what it says now. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And preach the gospel. What is the gospel? Come with me to 1 Corinthians 15. You'll find the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We find that the Apostle Paul defines what the gospel is. Now, the word gospel means good news. But what is that good news? More specifically now, you know, there are people in the apostasy that would say, I preach the gospel, but they don't preach the gospel at all. They don't preach what Paul defines as the gospel here. What is the gospel? Well, look what he says. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved,
if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. So, he tells us, verses 1 and 2, what I'm about to tell you in the verse 3, this is the gospel. This is the definition of what I mean, the gospel. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. What is the gospel? The gospel defined, narrowly defined, is Christ. His life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. It's all about Christ. You know, there's so many say, well, preacher, a social gospel. Paul never says, add that wee word. He just preached the gospel. Others like a social gospel. They put things in. You can go to many a church. Oh, the churches will be full. The pulpit will have a minister. And you'll hear a whole lot of guff a whole lot of the time. And there's not an awful lot preaching the gospel. That's why the burden rests on us. You know, there's so many that have the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. But with you and I, who know the truth, there's no room to be silent, folks. We've got to be witnesses to Christ. Come with me to Jonah chapter 3, please. Jonah chapter 3. Because I believe this is what is missing in the church today. This is what is missing in Christendom as a whole. We find in Jonah chapter 3, this is where Jonah has been commanded to go to Nineveh. He runs in the opposite direction. God brings him back through the great fish, through the whale. And we find Jonah comes back to the Lord at that particular time. And essentially Jonah chapter 3 is Jonah's second chance with God. And what do we read in Jonah chapter 3? Jonah chapter 3, look at the verses 1 and 2. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city. And this is the key now. Listen to it. I've highlighted it in my Bible. And preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. That's the difference. That's a gospel preaching church. Not just preaching any old message. Not preaching the environment, not preaching social justice, not preaching anything else, but preaching that I bid thee, the word of God. That's what's missing. And that's our commission. That's what we need to do. Friend, you can make people feel good and you can tickle their ears and you can pat them on the back all the way to hell, but it will never redeem a soul. You must preach Christ. Must preach Christ. But then last of all, as we finish up, look at the verse 15, our text again. We find the command, he said unto them, go. We find the Christian, ye, the crowd into all the world, the commission, preach the gospel. Number 5, the creatures. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. This is key. All the world, every creature. You know, at times we have this Jonah view of evangelism, don't we? Why wouldn't Jonah go to Nineveh? It's because of sectarianism. That's what it was. Sectarianism. He said, I'll reach my own people, but I'm not going to reach them. I'll reach these people here because I like this group of people, but I'm not going to reach them. Where do we read that in the Bible? Every creature. Every creature. I ask, have you got friends and neighbors and anyone like that that maybe you think their lifestyle is awful? And maybe it is before God. Are you going to reach them for Christ? You know, we pray for revival. Maybe I'm going to say something controversial. Don't really mind. I don't care who it offends in that sense. But I'll say this. We pray for revival. I don't think we have a clue what we're praying for. You know, if revival came to Kilkeel, in these pews, you'd have plenty of Roman Catholics. You'd have some Republican boys, some boys with blood on their hands. You'd have that. You'd have the sodomites and the trans people and all that sort of. You'd have those people in these pews after getting saved. Paul writes that, and such were some of you. I ask, do we want that? Do we want revival? Do we want to reach every creature? The challenge, surely, to our hearts. But you know, when you read the word creature, that's not referring to preach to a dog or a cat or an animal or anything like that. It's referring to something very important about mankind. Referring to the fact that man is created. It's referring to the fact that man actually has God's law written on his heart. So that when you preach the gospel to man, whether man tries to deny it or not, man in his heart of hearts knows there is a God in heaven. And actually you're troubling his conscience and appealing to the law of God, something that is already written on his heart. And therefore that ought to give us great confidence too, that you're preaching to every creature. I wonder who will go. Who will go? Isaiah saw the Lord, didn't he? When Isaiah saw the Lord, it says in Isaiah 6 verse 8, the Lord said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Well, then said I, here am I, send me. We read in Mark 16 and the verse 20, and they went forth and preached. Preached where? Preached everywhere. Look at it, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. I ask, are we going to be busy for God tonight? Are we going to make that determination before the Lord? Maybe I've been busy in all sorts of things, Lord, but tonight I'm going to start off being busy for Thee. Or that we would do that. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We'll sing hymn number 514, please. Hymn number 514. We'll sing the first two verses now, and then we'll sing the verses 3 and 4 after our time of prayer together. But 514, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty, to save. Standing as we sing, verses 1 and 2, 514. Let's stand together. Father, we do pray that Thou would help us to be busy in our lives for Thee. Lord, we can be busy about so many other things. We can be busy building our own wee kingdoms and empires. We can be busy with so many fruitless things that will fade and corrupt away. Oh, Father, help us to be busy about the Master and the Father's business. Help us to be busy for God. Help us to fulfill the Great Commission. Help us to be those that will do our all
to see the kingdom of God built in our area. Lord, there are so many going to hell. There are so many. So many of our family. So many of our friends. So many of our colleagues, and they're going to hell, Lord. Oh God, take away the fear of man. We know that it bringeth a snare. And oh God, give us holy boldness to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. We pray that Thou'd help us to have the attitude of Isaiah. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Oh, so often we're guilty of asking Thee, like Moses, to send someone else. And Thine anger is kindled against us. Help us tonight to have that resolve. Lord, send me. Bless us now. Help us as we pray. In Jesus' name we plead. Amen.